Walt Disney World has always been a place of great wonder for me. The unbelievable vastness of that resort is something that's hard to fathom. However, no matter how well-oiled of a machine it is, some things are bound to somehow slip through the cracks. And the closed-off section of the Magic Kingdom Utilidors is definitely one of those things. In case you're unfamiliar with the Utilidors, they are part of a brilliant tunnel system to cover up the different cast members that are coming and going throughout Magic Kingdom, so that they don't spoil the illusion with a Haunted Mansion cast member walking through Tomorrowland or one Mickey walking past another. The fascinating thing about them is that they extend all throughout the park of Magic Kingdom, and they contain cafes, stores, historical landmarks, and a variety of other things that can be used by the thousands of cast members venturing throughout them every single day. I found out about the Utilidors when I started working at Adventureland last summer. I remember them being possibly the most fascinating part of my job with the company. Every day I would go deeper and deeper into them, just searching for what else I could find in there. I remember early one morning I found a homeless employee, with his bag and all of his belongings, sleeping in a forgotten little computer lab, somewhere underneath Main Street. You literally never knew what you would find down there. That was why I started talking to people that worked there full time. I wanted to know what sort of things they would see happening down there on a regular basis. So I started talking to this lady one day, who worked at a little window where you could swap out your Disney pins. I asked her if there were any weird things that most people didn't know about the Utilidors that I could possibly go check out on the rest of my break. She spoke to me with a country accent, yet not seeming to have a great grip on the English language in general. According to her, about 20 years back, there was a hidden little tunnel that was closed off to the rest of the cast. It was toward the main entrance of the tunnel and on the other side of the men's locker rooms. I asked her if she knew why it had been closed off, and she told me she heard something about a couple of cast members getting lost down there and disappearing. Apparently, after a few times of it happening, without any sort of explanation, management decided just to close it off and have cast members use a different route to get to the other side of the park. At that point, there was pretty much no possible way I wasn't going to check it out. So I decided to stay a little late after my morning shift the next day, with John, a friend of mine from Haunted Mansion. Once we entered the main entrance to the tunnels, we headed to the left, where the men's locker rooms were. The odd thing about these locker rooms were, though, that not many people used them. Most people kept their clothes in their attractions break room or just another area, so the locker rooms were basically these old, empty chambers, maybe one person in them if you're lucky. When we entered, the room was truly a labyrinth of lockers. There wasn't a single person anywhere to be found, and all the lockers seemed to have been from the 1970s. Not to mention the musky dinge of mold and probably asbestos. We searched for about an hour throughout the maze, but didn't have much luck. Then from around the side of a locker, a rickety old custodian stepped out. He seemed a bit dim from his blank, emotionless stare. He kind of gazed at us for a moment. Then he looked away from us and started spraying one of the lockers down with a spray bottle. So I figured we might as well take a chance with him and ask if he'd heard about the hidden tunnel system. He looked up at us with fear in his eyes, but didn't say a thing, for a bizarrely long time. This started to freak us out a bit, so we decided to apologize and be on our way. Then out of nowhere, the old man grabbed me and screamed, "No!" When he opened his mouth, I noticed his tongue was almost completely missing. I finally was able to rip away from him, and we took off in the other direction. Once we got around a corner, we paused for a break. Then we saw a set of lockers that had a slight opening at the side of it. "Do you think that could be it?" I said as I pointed at the opening. John, always sort of being down for whatever, shrugged his shoulders and walked towards the entrance. We got together and pushed the small row of lockers, mustering up just enough strength to move it just a tiny bit over. We then squeezed ourselves in through the opening and into a dusty old hallway that had clearly not been touched since the early days of the park. All the lights were off, so I pulled out my flashlight and shined it down the hall. "Holy shit, this is it!" I whispered to my friend excitedly. We started to venture down it and noticed on the right-hand side of the hall there was a door with a window that said Archive on it. We entered and saw there was a massive underground warehouse in there. There were shelves and shelves of original memorabilia, racks of old cast member costumes, and tons of old creepy costume heads extending as far as I could see. "Whoa," I looked at John in awe at what we had just stumbled upon. I turned on a light and it buzzed loudly as it dimly lit up a small portion of the area. As we walked down the rows and rows of old costumes, I looked down one of them and thought I saw a figure in the distance. I grabbed my friend and whispered to him, "What was that?" We looked back down the row and couldn't see anything at the end. I thought I saw something standing down there. John smiled and said, "This chamber has no windows and no doors." I punched him in the arm and kept walking. "What do you think was wrong with that guy back in the locker room?" I said. "Ah, you know how custodial is." John smiled and grabbed this old Mickey head from probably the 1950s. You know, the creepy ones with the wide black eyes and pointy noses. "God, those things were terrifying," I said, as I pushed the mask out of my face. I went down another direction, where there were shelves of broken Small World props. One of the little girl figures had holes where her eyes were supposed to be. "Dude, check this out!" I yelled as I looked back for John. But he wasn't anywhere in view. "John, where'd you go?" I walked back to where he put the mask, but he wasn't there. Then on my shoulder I felt a tapping. It was the familiar white glove of a Mickey Mouse hand. It looked like John had found the entire Mickey Mouse costume. He stared at me for a minute, then awkwardly waved at me. "Jesus, man, don't you get to scare enough people while you're working?" Mickey just stared at me without responding. "Okay, dude, you can stop now, it's getting irritating," I said, honestly a little bit frightened, but trying to hide it. Then I turned around and saw a fully assembled Pluto costume, licking its chops. Then it began jumping in place, eerily emulating the motions of a real dog. Horrified, I tore off down one of the aisles of costumes. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a bloody John being dragged across the floor by a giant Goofy at the other end of the room. Panicking, I crashed through a random door and slammed it behind me. I found myself in a tiny, dimly lit storage office with a desk and a chair. I clambered over to the desk and hid underneath, knocking over a box of old photos in the process. I held my breath and tucked myself deep underneath. I couldn't help noticing, though, that one of the old photos was of Walt at the early days of Disneyland. He was posing in the photos with all the old characters, but in a strange way, he seemed frightened by them. I grabbed the rest of the photos and began rifling through them. They were by no means pleasant. There were photos full of Goofy, Pluto, Mickey, and Minnie costumes out in the woods. They were by a fire at night. Then the next photos were almost too much to bear. They were of children being tied up by the characters. Suddenly, I heard the door slowly creak open. The two shadowy characters crept through the door and then toward me, with their hands out, perhaps ready to do whatever it was that they did to those children out in the woods. Then, when Pluto grabbed me, all I could think to do was try to pull his head off. I had to see who was underneath. Although, no matter how much I tried, it wouldn't budge. Then Pluto held my arms behind my back, and I saw as Mickey turned away from me. There was no seam for a zipper, and no separation where the costume could come apart. This thing, whatever it was real. That was when Goofy came in. He was dragging what looked to be a giant, human leg-sized turkey leg behind him. I was only conscious for the first whack, and then it was all over. So to all those people who think that Disney is all sunshine and rainbows, heed this as a warning. There are few things in this world that don't have a dark underbelly to them. And if you fail to use caution, you could end up like me, just another random person that went missing at Disney one day.